listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 101, kind of sort of 102, depending on if you count that recruiting segment during early signing day as one. But we'll call it episode 101 of Arkansas Prep Extra. And then we are powered by SB Live. We have Nate Olson here with us today, the regional editor for Arkansas, Iowa, and Nebraska. For those of you that are longtime listeners, of course, we're familiar with both of us, and I am Kyle Sutherland, and this is the first episode of 2024. It's great to be back. And Nate, over the course of the past month and a half, we've had the typical holiday tournaments that we have every single year. But one thing that I've really noticed, especially since I've moved back to Arkansas from San Antonio in 2020, is each year more teams, whether it's out-of-state tournaments, high-profile tournaments, which we see a lot of, or they're playing some of the toughest competition in state borders. It really just doesn't matter. Overall, it's great to see the uptick both in Arkansas high school hoops that we see on the court and also that we're seeing in recruiting, as we have had a lot of high profile prospects and plenty more to come.
A lot of basketball talent. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about football here, at least on the guys' side. It even feels like there are more major Division I basketball prospects over the last 5 years and more coming than football. And that's a balance and a shift of power. We did have a good crop of football players this year, and we've talked all about them, but it has seemed like over recent years that basketball, and then also on the girls' side too, a lot of high profile recruits, teams that are getting national attention, and basketball is becoming, you know, more of an attention getter nationally. And when football has always kind of stolen the show a little bit with the recruits and with teams. So that's been cool to see that. And then, of course, you've got the national tournaments. You've got the King Cotton Classic and some other tournaments that commanded some attention over the winter or the Christmas break. And now you've got conference really going for everybody. I think the 6A Central was one of the last ones to get going for conference here, and so they're off and running.
And that's what we're going to get into on this first one of 2024, really our first basketball episode of the year too, a year as well. And one thing that we did, changing it up from last year, we felt from the first season that we did of Arkansas Prep Extra, at least covering both boys and girls sports, it was just too much stuff loaded into one episode when you do 1A through 6A. So we figured that we would try something else, mix it up, do one episode with 4 through 6A, and then on some other episodes do 1 through 3A. So we felt that worked. We're going to do that again this year. And right now, with us releasing our inaugural rankings of the year last week, we're going to talk about some of these top matchups that we had last week, as well as preview some for this week. So 1 through 3A, you will get your episode next week, and then we're going to kind of just alternate as we go here throughout the rest of the season through conference play and then on into the district, regional, and, of course, state tournaments. So we'll start it off, of course, as we always do with the girls, and then at the top in Class 6A. Nate, we know that any time North Little Rock and Conway get together, it's going to be a slobber knocker. It doesn't matter. Both of these teams are always good, but it doesn't matter if one might be a little bit better than the other, or both are elite, two might be down. You always have to throw records out the window. And Conway has been one of those teams after losing Chloe Clardy. We talked about those high-profile recruits a second ago. Losing Chloe Clardy, losing Savannah Scott, we figured there would be some growing pains there. Talent galore, once again, just inexperienced. So I felt like that this team, and I mentioned it in the rankings last week, I felt like this Conway team really grew up in the Sandra Meadows Classic and showing what they did against top-ranked North Little Rock. And then North Little Rock, of course, breaking that losing streak that they had against Conway. Both of these teams, to me, really proved their worth, but Conway especially really showed themselves, that they showed us and themselves that they are a top-five team to me in this matchup.
Conway is a team that, and like North Little Rock, they're a factory. There's always going to be talent there. And then you've got two great coaches. So You've got the talent coming in, and then you know that if you have a sophomore-laden team, and Northside had been like that before with Ricky Smith a couple years ago, young team still gets to the state championship because of the tutelage of the coach. You've got the great talent, and you bring these young kids up from the ninth grade, and then by March, they're ready to play in the big games because they've got this coach, this figurehead that's been in those big games. With both of those programs, you got Ashley Hutchcraft. She is molding this team. It is going to be tough to beat by the end of the year. I mean, taking North Little Rock into overtime, big deal. North Little Rock, a little more veteran team. And I know that Daryl Fimple, this was a real relief for him to win this. You know, a competitive guy. North Little Rock is known as one of the powers in women's basketball in our state. And to lose to one team seven straight times are really stuck in his craw. But you can tell that this is a team with only two losses that's one of those special North Little Rock teams. And they've got always got good teams there, but now this looks like a team that is a very, very good team, a dominant team. And I think, you know, he would probably wanted that to be a little bit less hectic than it was with the overtime, but he's going to take it. And, you know, and then Ashley Hutchcraft, the other side, you know, I saw that she went to some kind of theatrical production, and she said on Facebook and said, I had to get out of the film room because and get away from this to take a break because of that loss. And, you know, both of those coaches are great for reasons because it consumes them. They want to win. And also, it bothers them more to lose than it does. They like, you know, they hate losing more than they do like winning. So anyway, I thought that was funny. You know, I have to get away from the video screen because I'm just watching this over and over again. Gotta get a take a break. But yeah, those two teams are going to be there at the end. They're going to play again in the conference season. We're going to monitor that closely, and then you know they're going to probably meet again in the tournament.
I can relate to Coach Hutchcraft. That's how I feel sometimes, just looking at a computer. Now, losses are no comparison. Big losses like that are no comparison to looking at computer screens all day. But I know what she means in terms of getting away. I saw that post myself. But you know, North Little Rock, I think that Farmington, even though look, a 4A team, defending 4A champions, I think that they have as much. I think they're pretty much across the board, either the second or third ranked team overall, depending on what poll that you look at. But they've got a case to me. I thought very, very hard in our inaugural ones about our inaugural rankings about putting them at number one. But to me right now, especially with this win over Conway, with their overall body of work, I think North Little Rock has proven that they are the top team. Just like you said, Nate, I think with Jocelyn Tate, Madison Hatley, who had, what was it, 20 points and 19 rebounds, something crazy the other night. Just a pretty senior heavy team. And how about Coach Fimple's daughter, Katie? She's a sophomore, and we knew what she could do shooting. She's been a really big part of this team this year. But I agree with you, kind of like what Conway was last year. Conway more so had those two seniors, Chloe Clardy and Savannah Scott, with a bunch of young talent. And it's kind of, I mean, it's you don't really have that elite prospect for North Little Rock. You've got Jocelyn Tate that's going to go play college. Some of those other girls are going to play college ball. But just as a whole, I agree with you, North Little Rock, they're just such a complete team.
Well, and he knows what to do and the strings to pull. You know, he doesn't need to have Power Five talent, but he's got enough good players and some depth, and you know, and then his daughter to shoot. And you know, I follow him on Facebook too, and there was a lot of footage of her on one of those machines. You've seen those where you shoot and it shoots it back to you. That's how you become a great shooter. And he's, I know he's proud of her work ethic. I mean, she follows her dad. I know he's in the gym all the time too, and she's with him, and that's no doubt helped their team. I'm not surprised that she can shoot the ball because she's done a lot of work on her own, on her own time. But yeah, those two programs are just models of success on how it kind of trickles down from the head coach. And with that steady stream of talent, they're always going to be good because even when they need to reload, like I said, you've got that person at the helm that can shape it. Now, one thing I thought was very interesting, that is not a game you want to start the conference season off with. And you know, that's one of the biggest games of the year immediately. And you know, both those teams competed hard and played in Now one of them's 0-1 and one's 1-0, and you got to feel good if you're on the North Little Rock side of things. But obviously, it's a long season, and you kind of got that 24-hour rule, and maybe Coach Hutchcraft let that bleed a little bit into 48 hours. But you got to move on, and now you play Tuesday, and that game's history.
Just looking at the 6A landscape, you've got, of course, Fort Smith Northside, looking at the west there, and knew that they were going to be up at the top as they always are. Also, too, you stay in the central like we've just been talking about with those top two teams. Can't forget about Cabot. And Cabot, talk about a big week that they have. They play at, I can't remember if it's at, but I know they play against number four Conway. We've got number four in our SB Live Arkansas rankings, and then play number nine Central on Friday. So a big week for the Lady Panthers. They lost to Fayetteville. They also lost, I believe the other one was to Farmington. So they've got two understandable losses. And speaking of Fayetteville, so Fayetteville has had a really, really hot start, beat some really good teams. They did suffer that 2-point loss to Springdale. And this is probably the one in the rankings where people, maybe especially Springdale fans and of course the team, might look at and say, how in the world do you have us where we are? We've got Springdale now in the top 10 this week. You've got them actually checking in at number nine. Went ahead and kept Fayetteville at number four and number five. And the reason for that being is it's really tough in the end, not the opener, but of course they had already started the 6A West play, got back into that. It's really tough when you look at the amount of top 25 wins to move them too incredibly far. So with Springdale, I have been unbelievably impressed what Heather has done with that team. They've won just three games a couple of years ago, had a really good season last year, especially compared to what they had done the season previous. And obviously, they are much more improved this time around. So they've got their two games this week against Rogers Heritage and Bentonville. I like them in those two. You think that they should take care of business, but then the next week, they've got Fort Smith Northside. And I think that that's going to be a big time matchup. And again, assuming Springdale takes care of its business this week in both of those games, and obviously assuming Northside does too, this is going to be a top 10 matchup. And Springdale has a big chance to continue pushing forward. So anybody that might question on those, I understand it. But here's what I would tell you if I'm talking to Coach Hansucker and the Springdale Lady Bulldogs, the Lady Red Dogs, is just keep doing what you're doing. You have improved a lot. Just keep winning, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. And it, like we always say, it's not how you start the poll, it's how you finish, or the ranking. We like ranking, not poll. Ranking. The way you fit start the ranking, it does not matter the way you finish it. And yeah, keep winning. Fayetteville's been battle tested. I saw that, what they've done. You got them there with their strength of schedule. Well deserved. And that's a gauntlet too on that side. Over on the west, you got to play, North Side. They're always good. We mentioned Ricky Smith earlier. There's a lot of good women's basketball being played, in that upper level, all over. But in that the central, that 6A tournament is always interesting, because you've got a couple good teams in each conference. So yeah, it's always cool too when you see a team that is not expected to be as good and now they're good, and you got to give them a lot of credit, Springdale, for getting better, and then you've got an opportunity to make some more noise with Northside whenever you beat them, if you can beat them. It's a big deal too.
And something with Springdale, they're really young, really talented. And I'm not saying that this is going to happen. What the analogy I'm about to make here, I'm not saying will happen with them. But last year, I think that I looked at Rogers Heritage, the way that those girls started. I think it was 11-3, 11-4, had a really good run at the beginning of conference play once they got into 6A West. But then as time went on, about mid-January, that's kind of when things started to fall off a little bit. So just need to make sure that we see a little bit more from Springdale again. They've done, especially really dating back to last season, to the start of last season, and then on through what they did. I've been very impressed what the Lady Red Dogs have done there. Then talking about in Class 3A, number three, Greenwood, they beat Russellville 71-70. That was on a layup by Anna Trusty. Trusty had 26 points, 11 rebounds, four assists, four steals. Now, Nate, that's an incredible stat line, but that's what Anna Trusty's been doing really her whole entire career. I don't know how in the world she's not more recruited. To me, she's the best 24 player in the state of Arkansas. That's my opinion. I've thought that for a little bit now, and just, Maddie Cartwright was her. They were kind of like, I guess you could say a Batman and Robin, at least in terms of senior, junior. What I'm not talking about talent wise or anything like that. But this is, Anna's team this year, Adriana Russin, and then Brooklyn and Woolsey, like all of them. That's kind of like that senior trio that they have. Yeah. And they've taken a couple of shots on the chin this year, against Little Rock Christian. I think that Anna actually fouled out pretty early. They or maybe she got hurt and they had a couple others foul out. I can't remember exactly what the story was, but they've hit a few bumps this year against yet again another tough schedule. But, I think the way that they finished out that tournament in the pink and white, I can't remember the exact. It's the one in Missouri around the Springfield area that they played in towards the the end of the year. I think the showing that they had in that, along with this win that they had against Russellville, a Russellville team that is doing much better than probably a lot of people expected. I think Valonia, there's plenty of 5A teams that you could point to. Valonia, probably West Memphis as well is another one, just as they always are. Marion, I really like them. But right now, even though, again, they've taken their lumps, I still like Lady Bulldogs until somebody else shows me.
Isn't Trusty like a six-year senior, super senior, COVID year person?
That's almost what it feels like. She's been making some
or something. Yeah.
Yeah, making some big shots for the Lady Bulldogs for a long time.
Well, and when we're mentioning coaches, we might as well mention him, Clay Reeves.
The best to do it. Yeah.
Tremendous coach. And when you've done this, and you can see my gray beard here, done this a long time. Go back to when Clay was in Greenland, and I was just a Cub reporter in Northwest Arkansas. And, you know you're good when you can go to different programs and different levels and win. And he's in that same boat as North Little Rock and Conway, where you've just got a steady stream of talent, and you've got young kids that are playing basketball in the elementary schools and going up into middle school and junior high, and you get them as sophomores and they're talented and they can play at the varsity level. So even if you only have one or two seniors, you've got some sophomores you can plug in and still be competitive and make a run in the tournament. And so that's another factory in a place, a place that has carved out some really good basketball success. And he's one of the reasons why. And now it's just every year we talk about them, and seems like every year we've talked about Trusty too. So
yeah, I wasn't shaking my head at you. I was shaking my head at myself because I realized, I said, Adriana Rusty, I'm pretty sure she graduated. I meant Carly Sexton. That's the other Carly Sexton, Brooklyn Woolsey, and Anna. That was the three that I had initially. Hey, I'm good for one mistake each podcast.
Well, wait till you've done this 25 or 7 years and you start blending names together.
Oh, they do. They all come together. It's crazy. When you get to doing boys and girls, that's when it gets wild.
Yeah, my kids always get on to me because I say somebody's name and get the first name right, or the last name right, but the first name wrong, and all that. I think I called Aaron Rodgers something wrong, the quarterback. You mean Aaron Rodgers? I think I called him the name of a high school kid. So, when you've got all those names floating around in your brain and you've seen all these games, it's easy to happen. But, Greenwood is a special program. That's a special town. They win in a lot of different things. It's not just football there, which I think makes it very special that they have success in a lot of different sports.
And then also in Class 5A, I mentioned just a second ago, West Memphis and Marion, always, whether it's the boys or the girls, always a great matchup there. One of the premier matchups in Northeast Arkansas, at least twice a year. We know that they're going to play in conference play. Sometimes they see each other in either the postseason or in non-conference tournaments. But West Memphis girls, they defeated Marion 63-57. Now, that was an overtime game. And talking just a second ago, Nate, I was just mentioning Springdale a second ago. I think this Marion team last year is an example on the flip side of that argument, meaning their record about this time last year, or even on into mid to late January, was like 3-11, 3-12, something like that. They were in some bad shape, then really got hot there at the end, and they made their third straight semifinals appearance, lost in a heartbreaker. They've lost some heartbreakers, Marion has, but last year, definitely, that was one, regardless of what team you root for. I mean, they were just, they got so close. And of course, West Memphis, under Erica Leak, I mean, they just hadn't skipped a beat really since she became the coach there. And Talked with Erica a little bit at the beginning of the season, and she had talked about how Clemisha Prackett, who signed with Alabama at A&M, also there's another guard that slips my mind. I think it I'm not even going to say it because I know I'll get it wrong, but they're graduated a guard, and also Clemisha Prackett, their post player, that was going to be a big time loss for them, especially Clemisha there in the paint. So they've still got her daughter, Tyra Tucker, outstanding player. They've got plenty of talent there, as they always do in West Memphis, but a big time matchup there to get the Lady Patriots in the first game, the opening game of 5A East play. And again, they just always, too, you know, Erica Leake and Shonda Johnson, two of my favorite people and coaches, just outstanding human beings, outstanding coaches. And yet another one, as I said, with Conway and North Little Rock, this is just another great chapter in this storied rivalry.
Yeah, you focus the spotlight to Eastern Arkansas. And we got basketball, just like football, we got basketball everywhere, border to border. I love the Erica Leake story, you know, a young lady that played, you know, in Arkansas, small school, and went to start at the college level, played in the WNBA. She is somebody that you want coaching your child. I mean, she's just, those other coaches we mentioned too, I believe that too, but she is somebody, and she's in a place where, you know, there are some kids that really need a role model, you know, in that community. And she is very good at relating to some of the issues that those kids have, and giving them not only, you know, the basketball avenue, but a mentor, someone to look up to. You know, she's a wife and a mother, and she's been successful, and coming out of, you know, a small town like Palestine Wheatley, out of that, you know, to make something of herself. And so she's just, you couldn't ask for somebody better to relate to those kids on a basketball level, but not on a life level. And that's, you know, I think most coaches, they're not only trying to win their sport, but they're trying to prepare these kids for what's going on in life. What's going to happen when you leave high school, and the some of the challenges you're going to face. And then she does that as good as anybody in the state in coaching. I think she takes that very seriously, and they win a lot of basketball games on top of it. A lot of talent in that program.
And hey, you talk about some good matchups in the East this week. I'll mention first, one of the East teams that has done a really, really good job thus far is Nettleton. You know, they've got wins over Bergman, Class 3A, that has actually entered our top 25 this week. Bryant, Russellville, Valonia, Searcy, those are their, I believe it's five, those five top 25 wins, if I'm not mistaken, but they have dropped their last two. They did get Shakira Brown, who was a transfer from Paragould that was a big part of the team, and actually went down, unfortunately, with a season-ending ACL injury in the Valonia win, which I believe was actually Valonia's first loss of the season, if I remember correctly. So, you know, Nettleton has gotten off to a really good start. You know, this is the year one under Kevin Frisbee, and I still think there are some big things to come. You know, but losing their first back-to-back games like they're coming off of right now, not only did that happen, now they've got to play West Memphis and Marion this week. They start off with a road trip to Marion this week, and then they close it out with West Memphis. So Nettleton, again, you know, kind of facing the most adversity that they have experienced thus far, and they're really going to be tested this week against probably what will end up being, or at least it's a very good chance that it will end up being, Marion and West Memphis, the two top teams when it's all said and done in the 5A East.
That's a tough slate right there to have to do that. And if you're trying to kind of get out of you know, a tough time, that's not the teams you want to face. But you know, I know that you know, they've got high standards there. They think they can compete for you know, a tournament run, and that's how you'll get ready for that, is by playing, you know, tough teams in the conference season and playing in these big games on Tuesday and Friday night, so you're able to handle the pressure in the tournament.
And also, too, wanted to go down before we head over to class, or before we head over to the boys, wanted to touch on class 4A. And, you know, Nate, I know that one of the biggest things last year, anytime we talked about 4A girls, it was mostly Farmington and Nashville. Anytime we talked about 4A boys, it was mostly Blytheville and Farmington and a little bit of Little Rock Christian, who actually ended up proving everybody wrong when it came to the end of the season and then won the 4A state championship. But it's a very similar story this year. Now, I do think that right now, and I feel like many, even probably coaches in 4A would agree with this, Farmington is bar none the best team. They've showed that to at least to me since the beginning of the year. Nashville, we've actually got, you know, they did win their two conference games this week. They didn't drop. I think it was maybe a spot that they actually dropped, but it wasn't anything that they did wrong. It was really just kind of some things that had happened in some spots before them. But Nashville's had a couple of key injuries. That's the thing that people don't realize. They've had a couple of key injuries that they expect back before this month is over. So that's going to be interesting to see that, you know, they've already been battle tested with the teams like the Conways, the Greenwoods, the Centrals. Now they're in 4A7 conference play where they haven't lost a game in dang near 2 years. They're about to be healthy again. I still like Farmington when it's all said and done until, again, until Nashville or maybe even a Gravette proves me wrong. But just Farmington's been too powerful. But speaking of Gravette, you know, they've been one of those pleasant surprises, really, other than Farmington in the past few years. Gentry's kind of been that second team in the 4A1 that's really even posed a remote threat to Farmington. Gravette hung with them really until about the fourth quarter the other night. I've been talking to their coach a good bit and very impressed with what they can do, especially with what they're able to do defensively. But I think Gravette is definitely one of those teams that could make some noise in Class 4A. Brooklyn was one that I really liked last year. You know, Mitchell Weber in year two came over from Rector. That was a 9-win team, took them to the quarterfinals. So there's a few new teams to watch for. You can't ever forget about Clinton. They played another really tough schedule. But right now, everyone is chasing Farmington, and it's really just not even a debate.
Yeah, you know, when Farmington loses one of the better players we've seen recently, Jenna
Lawrence.
Lawrence. Yeah, want to make sure I was calling her Jennifer Lawrence earlier because of the
Easy
accent.
to do.
Jenna Lawrence. Yeah, he goes to Arkansas right up the road. It's amazing to lose a player like that, and then you're still super dumb. Like, not just good. Like, now you're basically saying this is the team to beat again, and it, you know, may not be close. You know, they're head and shoulders. So that you're doing something right there, Coach Johnson. Again, it's the same song, different verse. A lot of talent coming through, and a good coach at the top, and then you see every year deep tournament runs, and then he's in a position now where you can win a couple championships in a row, and I know that they would love that to do that. But yes, it would be good if they have some competition on the way, and maybe somebody can you know, give them a game, you know, later on. But yeah, they're really good, and it looks like they're a machine. And when you're a 4A team, and you're in, and the thing I love about our company is the all 25, the all classes 25 thing, because you know, having them at number one in 4A, I don't know, it gives that program justice. But when you have them in the top five with the likes of Conway, North Little Rock, and those schools, tells you how good they are, because those 7 or 6A schools are nationally known. So if you're telling me that they could be in the mix with them, I mean, they're a 4A school, then I mean that really is giving them a lot of praise.
Well, and here's what I'll pull this up real quick. So here's what really convinced me. So Conway, their last game, they made it to the championship round of the Sandra Meadows Classic, and it did not go well for them. It was like a 40-point loss, something like that, to Duncanville. Well, Duncanville also Farmington also played that same Duncanville team and only lost to them by 10. That tells you. And Duncanville's top 10, top 15 country, a team in the country. Now the boys are usually up there too, as we some saw in the King Cotton Classic a couple of weeks ago, but they're a little bit down, pretty young team. But yeah, the girls, that Duncanville game, and that's just not the only thing. I think that Farmington, with their schedule, with who they've beaten, definitely says it too. But 10-point loss to stay within that to Duncanville is pretty impressive, if you ask me. So
Very, very impressive.
Then heading on to the boys' side in Class 6A, number two Fayetteville, they handled business against Springdale, and then that was a 62-50 game. Now it is worth noting that Springdale did not have Isaiah Seeley, but you know Springdale definitely has shown that there's still got some work to do, and Fayetteville still undefeated against in-state competition at this point. They've only lost to two out-of-state teams in a tournament right around the end of 2023, and then also Bryant, who we have ranked number four right now. They took down Jonesboro in their 6A Central opener. So a big win there for the Hornets to get a win over the 6A defending state champions. And then Nate, Central right now, Little Rock Central, hands down, talking about North Little Rock on the girls' side being pretty much the non-debatable number one team with respect to Farmington. And the boys, it's not debatable to me. It's hands down Little Rock Central. They've beaten Harbor, which you know, that's the only loss. Some people have them at number two. We've got them at number three. But with Central, with their schedule, the tournament they played in Kentucky, they played in the King Cotton Classic. They just had a great showing in Tampa, Florida, where then their last game they beat a top five team from Tennessee. You know, Brian Ross, I mean, he told me straight up that, or at least he didn't tell me, but he was very, very clear that he did not like where we had them last year as far as the final rankings. And, you know, look, I tip my hat to Coach Ross and Central. They were upset about how last year ended, and they should have been, and they have challenged themselves, and they have not only made themselves look great on a national scale, they have made Arkansas Hoops look great on a national scale. Onur Boateng, I think he's got eight or nine double-doubles already. And again, you consider the competition. Central has, I mean, you look at their schedule, I don't think that you could point out one team that was like, they're not any good at all. I mean, they have played the toughest that you could just about schedule, I think. And that goes, just go take a look if you don't believe me, anybody that might not. Again, just all these non-conference team or non-conference tournaments that they played in and the way that they fared, but got a really, really big one against Bryant, who will be coming into their house on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well, a quick note on Central, also beat the top two teams in Missouri. I think one of them was Cardinal Ritter out of St. Louis. So, this team sort of reminds me of not the personnel, but with the competition they've beaten with the North Little Rock team. They had Nick Smith on it and Khalil Ware. And they played all those national teams. And, you know, you could tell they were class of the state. They were a team that was recognized nationally. And the same thing, the Central team is the same way. I saw Bryant play. I saw him play in December against Benton. And that's noteworthy because they've got Tamarian Burgess, who's one of the top players in the country. They gave up 17 points to him in the first half, but only five in the second. The thing that stands out to me is they play well together. They play good defense. Mike Abramson has been in Bryant, I think, since 2010, and he's had some ups and downs. But lately, you know, over the last probably 7 or 8 years, there's been an influx of talent. And that Bryant program, you know, they made the appearance in the state championship game a few years ago. I live here, so I see the kids that are playing basketball in the grade school and they're coming up and getting Kellen Robinson to come back home to Bryant after being in Episcopal. He had 18 points the other night against Jonesboro, I think, something like that. He had a bunch of points against Benton. He helps a great deal to have a guy that is a go-to scorer. But the thing that sticks out to me about them is they play very well together. They don't have a dominant big man, but all their guards are kind of big. They rebound well for guards. So it's kind of a, you know, three guard, two forward sort of set. And then you've got a guy like Drake Fowler, who's a good football player, great football player. He's going to sign with an FCS school next month. He's told me an FCS school was committed to Air Force, but now it's going to be one of those schools. Told me that Friday night, but you can tell he's a football player. He's gritty. He's tough. He rebounds well, plays great defense. And so not going to be a guy that scores a lot of points, although he did score some key ones in Jonesboro, but he brings a little bit of grit and tenacity to the team, some toughness. And I like them. Now, and then it's going to be very tough going to Central winning. That game, they turn back around and come to Bryant. That could be an opportunity for them to steal one. The atmosphere at that arena is very difficult to win in. And North Little Rock, we saw them steal a win out of there a few years ago when they looked like they were kind of down and out, you know, didn't play well that night, and they got one. That's going to be one I circle on my calendar to that could be one of Central's hardest games, but playing at home should take care of that game. But Bryant really likes how they're playing right now. They're playing at a high level, and they're you know, getting that win to start off with against the defending state champions was a big confidence builder for them.
Probably the biggest storylines to me, when you look at our top 25 and you look at the teams that, you know, we've got in there was quite a, once you get past about 15, 16, there was so many upsets. And I put this in the intro. I don't know that you can really call some games an upset right now. Really, once you get past about the top five, top 10, and we don't, there's so many that we don't really know. Bentonville, perfect example. They started off 0-4, 1-4, whatever it was, and or I think it was 1-4, and went on that run, and then they were upset by Fort Smith Northside. And I say that because here's the deal. So Mackenzie Pierce, who took Blytheville to the state championship the past 2 years in Class 4A, he is now at Fort Smith Northside. And when I saw his non-conference schedule, Mackenzie's always he's always going to schedule tough. He's one of those coaches that always does that, and I can always appreciate it. And when I saw it, I'm like, okay, it's going to be a tough start, just because, I mean, they were just, it's a gauntlet looking through there. Well, they finally got Northside. They finally got one of those wins that probably gave them a little bit of, especially considering how much of a run that Bentonville was. This one definitely, you've got to think, gave them a good bit of confidence. So I put those quotes in because I don't think that Bentonville losing to a team of Northside's current record is really reflective of what kind of season they're going to have. Just like I don't think that Northside's record currently is how they're going to end up. I really believe that Fort Smith Northside, I'll say it right now, I believe Fort Smith Northside is going to be much better in the second half. And I know there's not, you know, much to measure that by because they didn't have a very good non-conference. But Bentonville and Northside are just two teams from the West that I am kind of questioning right now. North Little Rock's another one of those. They had, I think it was, they've lost three of their last seven, something like that, or four of their last seven, something along those lines, coming into this year, and then they ended up getting their conference victory the other night over Conway. But that's the thing, they started off hot last year, and then things kind of fell apart at the end. They were bounced in the first round of the state tournament. I think talent-wise, they're just fine. I don't doubt that. It's just, what are you going to do with that here down the stretch? I like North Little Rock a lot. I think they just do have some things to prove, and I feel like that Coach Claiborne will be the first to tell you that.
I agree. With Northside, I mean, you've got a new coach. I mean, there's always going to be, as good as he is, I mean, when you come in and you've got a young ball club that's trying to learn from a new coach, they're going to be better in March than they are now. I mean, and way better than they were in November, probably, if there's some talent. And we've always seen Northside have some talent, and athleticism. Sometimes, and especially if you're playing a tough non-conference schedule, and a new coach, it takes time. But what did we always, what was our mantra last year? Just get to the playoffs,
Get to the tournament.
get to the tournament, get to the tournament. You got to get to the tournament, get in there, and then it's 0-0. And we have seen some monumental upsets on both sides of the ledger, boys and girls. Ask Conway. Maybe you don't want to ask because you might have to go to the movies again or to the musical to get her mind off it. But she'll tell you that with that Little Rock Central upset, it doesn't matter what happens in the regular season. Got to be ready for that. So get to the tournament, be playing good at that time. The rest of it doesn't matter. That's and I think and he knows that. And I think you've got to let that mindset trickle down to the kids. And I think he probably has talked to them. Is like, we're going to take it. It's the old coach's adage, one practice and one play and one quarter at a time, one game. It's a long season. How many times have we seen that too, where a team starts off really well and then they kind of limp into the tournament, and a team that maybe loses three of their first four that goes on a big run. So it's long, and you gotta play it, and just get in there in the tournament and play as well as you can then.
And I should have said this. You brought up a great point there because I should have said this before we got into even the girls. Because, you know, I know that there's probably some people that take a look at our rankings, maybe particularly 20 through 25, and they're like, how in the world did this happen? Because you see 8 and 9 records, you see what's Parkview 10 and 12, and all those. We are very, very big. I don't care if you win 15 games against teams that you should beat. That's great, but I don't really care about it. I care about the teams that are playing the best of the best in Arkansas, in you know Tennessee or Texas, wherever it may be, or in Florida, Central's case, playing in Florida. I believe actually that's where Fayetteville had played as well. So we're very, very tough on that, and that's kind of why a lot of times that you see, it's not always about the records. It's about the strength of schedules, and that's why we have where. And that's the thing, you know. There might be some that might, again, that don't have a full explanation, but we can tell you why they're there. Or at least, you know, I'll be happy to explain that. And that's why they are the way that they are, is just because we are. That's the main thing that we look at, is strength of schedule. Because when you think about how many teams there are for us to cover, you almost have to, because there's plenty of teams that have great records, but it's about who they played. And I'm glad you brought that point up. And that is actually something I wanted to talk about, starting off hot and things kind of cooling off at the end. And that's exactly, as we go down to 5A here, that's exactly what happened to Russellville last year. Nate, Russellville basketball, both boys and girls, I cannot be more impressed with how well Coach Johnson with the girls and Coach Chenault with the boys have done, because both of those teams are on their third coach in as many years. That is very, very, very tough to go through. Now, you look at Kyle Pennington, that's now won a state championship at Little Rock Christian. He won four consecutive 5A West titles in a row there. Then Coach Trent Morgan came from England for a year last season. Now he's back at England where he had won state championships. So they have had, and Coach Chenault there now, look at what he's doing. He can coach basketball. They've had three really, really good coaches there in the past 3 years. But I think you could say that with both boys and girls. Will Stewart was there last year for the girls, won a state championship the year before at Norfolk. Ryan Cohart, one of the best girls basketball, one of the best basketball coaches in the state that's now at Barton, was there the year before. But there just hasn't been any stability. And the fact that both of these two teams are in the positions that they are, you've got to tip your hat to both coaches. But now that we're on the boys, Coach Chenault, especially, you know, that's something that he's talked about, starting strong, but also finishing strong. That was one of the things that he talked about back in media days in October. That's exactly what Russellville has done. They've started off strong. They've only got one loss on the year. Then they open up 5A West play with a dominating win over Greenwood. I want to say that the Cyclones are one to watch, but I'm just not quite ready to say that yet, just because I don't want to speak too soon. And I'm not trying to look at history as that. But I'm looking at history. I just don't want to speak too soon, but I feel like that they are on a great run right now, or I know they are on a great run right now.
Well, you know, you've seen a lot of teams like that finally break through. I mean, you said it yourself, he's a great coach. So it's probably just a matter of time before they are able to finish that off. And, you know, Russellville is another town that, you know, in football and basketball, boys, you know, they've been kind of up and down. You've seen them win championships in football, and then you've seen not so good records, and then you've seen better. You know, then they're in the 6A West, and then I think it's the same thing with basketball. But there are good athletes there, and I think it's cyclical, where it's not like some of the towns where it's a steady stream. It's kind of back and forth and up and down. But when they do have that talent in football and basketball, they can make some noise in the tournaments, you know, because there is some good, you know, talent that's just kind of taking advantage of it, and you know, knowing it might be every couple of years you're going to get it. But yeah, that's definitely a school that could do that, with Chenault as a coach, and you know, the talent that does appear there.
The 5A West, really over the last few years, I would say more, maybe more than the last few years, but it's kind of had that reputation as maybe being the most down conference of the four in Class 5A. I feel like it is massively, and I've talked about this with a lot of people. I think many would agree. When you look at what Harrison did last year, see, that was the stigma, was that it was probably the most down conference last year. But then you look at Harrison made it to the semifinals. Also, Greenbrier, I think they actually won, either they won a playoff game in the tournament, or they hung with whoever they played really well. It was a much better showing than what we expected. But this year, Van Buren's much more improved. Harrison did lose to Alma in a shocking loss the other night, but still have a pretty good team that I think will still compete. Also, too, Mountain Home, very much more impressive than they have been. I had some really close loss to Fayetteville, a close loss to Farmington, and then, as I mentioned, Russellville. So the West, very much more improved. But then you look across the rest of it. Lake Hamilton is probably the one from the 5A South that I think is it's not misleading what we see, because 15-4 against their schedule that they played, I mean, it's still really good. But I feel like Scotty Pennington thinks that this team, we just haven't seen their potential yet, partly because the injury that Easton Hurley suffered during football season, you know, he was expected to be a really big part of this. So they have had to move some things around due to injury. But, you know, Ty Robinson gets his due credit, Nate. But when we talk about Honor Boateng and we talk about Lane Taylor, you know, definitely two of the first ones that you think of as the top basketball player in the state, whether that be in 2024, and some people might say regardless of classification, whatever. But Ty Robinson is right up there in that same conversation. I mean, the guy's almost a guaranteed 20-10 at minimum every single time he's out there healthy. I mean, even in the state championship, he gutted it through a swollen ankle and is as impressive as any basketball player in the state to me. But I think that because of how good maybe the depth of the 5A South and obviously how good Pine Bluff is, that maybe the Lake Hamiltons or maybe a Whitehall with their record is overlooked. And then also, too, with the emergence of Benton, I think that Whitehall's record is misleading. But Benton, hey, they've got a lot more help around Terrion Burgess now. And so he's in the paint doing his thing. They've got some help along the perimeter. Coach Hendricks got to really tip your hat to what they're doing there. So the 5A South, as deep as it was last year, I think is maybe even deeper this year. Lakeside's a pretty decent team as well. Kept it within 8 to Lake Hamilton the other night. Of course, look, in the Central, you've always got those intense matchups with Parkview, Maumelle, Valonia's on their way up. But then the East – West Memphis, much better than their record. Look at their schedule that they played. I can't reiterate that enough. And also Marion. Emmanuel Wade took over under circumstances that he didn't expect. I think Marion might be the most impressive one out of all, just because they lost their coach due to unforeseen circumstances to take other opportunities really as the season began. So, again, a really impressive start there from Marion. But, man, the defending state champions, Pine Bluff. I know I've kind of thrown a lot at everybody here, but go back, just kind of circle to what I was initially saying about Pine Bluff. To get your full team back basically less than a month before you play that slate that you did at the King Cotton Classic, Courtney Crutchfield a week before he goes down to San Antonio, plays in the Army All-American game, and just freshly removed from a football season, comes and drops 30 in the first two games of the 30 each in the first two games of the King Cotton Classic. Nate, if this Pine Bluff team is as good as they are right now, it's scary to think how good they're going to be once we get to tournament time.
He's sensational. Crutchfield, there's some other guys on that team too. Yeah, you covered a lot of ground there. Let's quickly kind of bullet point this. Let me chime in just a couple things, and I don't want to go too long. But Robinson, I had, you know, at Lake Hamilton, I had somebody tell me that follows us very closely that, yes, Andrew Boateng is, you know, maybe a consensus number one, but maybe Robinson is as good as him. You know, that's somebody that, you know, a scout that was telling me that. He's that impressive. Very, very good. Going to Florida Atlantic, I think they're getting a steal down there. And I don't know if Florida Atlantic got in the mix, but, you know, now that's a team that was in the Final Four, so it's a good place to go. You know, but he's good, and he's in a league where there's every night you can run into a major Division One type talent. When you talk about Crutchfield, I think he's a Division One basketball player. He doesn't play football. I think he's a Division One basketball player. Really, really do. With his athleticism, his toughness, shoot the ball, take it to the basket. You know, I'm watching him for one quarter at Sheridan, going down there to cover Kevin Kelly being introduced. And, oh, and by the way, Pine Bluff's playing basketball in the background here. And then he comes down, you know, in the first 2 minutes of the game, Tyler Cass is there with Channel 11. Well, I'll get some highlights, you know, real quick of the basketball. On cue, he comes down and just dunks it, you know, thunder dunk, you know, on a break. And he does not look like a guy who is – that strong, or he's 6'1", but he can leap. So yeah, Pine Bluff, and wanted to talk about, I'll talk about them in a minute, but also Wade. He was at Mariana and he led them to the championship game, correct? A couple
Yeah,
of
they
years.
beat Caddo Hills. They beat Caddo Hills in on the
Yeah, they
2020.
won. So it's kind of amazing that he was an assistant, but you don't want to lose your head coach in that kind of way. But to have a guy that played major Division I basketball at Ole Miss, a guy who's been around the coaching ranks, and he was at ESTEM early in his career, and he's been in Mariana. And he's also, we talked about, how Leak it relates to them. I mean, he's from that area. He's from the Delta. He's from a small town. He in speaks those guys' language. You couldn't come up with really a better guy to run that program after an abrupt end like that than him. Because even though it's been at a lower level, he's won big. And I think this is going to end up being, a silver lining for the program. Not, I don't want to say a blessing in disguise, but it is a,
It's the
if
best that could have happened
something,
considering the
if something like
circumstances.
that has to
Yeah.
happen,
Yeah.
this is the guy you want in there. And I'm surprised that he was an assistant coach. I mean, really am. I don't know how that all precipitated, for him to be there as an assistant and everything, but man, he's got a golden chance, I would think, to be the head coach there permanently. I think is an interim basis right now. Is that not correct?
As far as I know, yes. The last I had asked Chuck Livingston, their media relations guy, that was what he had told me. It's an interim status for now, but I agree with you. I think that it's an audition every single game, but he's done really well to this point. They lost their second game the other night, but that was to a Houston, Tennessee team. I think they're in the Memphis area, Germantown. But that's a team that's like a 6 or 7A school that has 15, 16 wins or something like that already. So he's done a really good job, and I've talked to him a couple times. Very sharp. He knows what he, like you said, he's been a head coach before, so he knows what he's doing.
Got a lot of respect for him. That's going to end up going a lot better for them than they probably expected. In Pine Bluff, I mean, well coached Billy Dixon, talked to him that night, Pine Bluff, in Sheridan. And he was talking about how early on with football, they weren't playing their best. And then that night against Sheridan, they got a tight win at the end. Sheridan with that new gym, and everybody was kind of jacked up to have Coach Kelly there. It was a tough atmosphere in the fourth quarter, but they got the win. And I think they started playing much better after that. And that was about the time, I think Crutchfield had been playing for a couple games. He got his sea legs under him, and then he really ignited in the King Cotton. One item, I think they are, the hands down favorites. And then not that they couldn't lose, and they may lose in the conference season because there's going to be some tough games. I wanted to, and we'll end 5A, I guess, on this, I guess, if you want to. But Benton, you made a comment about the supporting cast. They played better, I think, in the King Cotton against Bryant. That was one thing that I thought was Achilles' heel that night. They did not play well in the second half. The first half, Coach Abramson and Bryant made the comment that Burgess made a lot of impossible shots, running, falling away, three pointers with somebody in his face. He worked for all 17 points. In the second half, some of those shots weren't falling. He missed one in the lane that was a real easy shot. He missed it, and that happens. And then he didn't, and then it was like he didn't get hardly any looks after that. And that's why I felt like the difference in that game was that the guys around him did not pick up the slack. It did look like they did that a little bit more in the King Cotton, which is a little surprising because that was better competition. But that also may just show you how good Bryant is. And I alluded to how good their team defense is, but what do you think about that? I mean, you're just praising their, overall team around him. I was not as impressed that night. I know you cannot judge everything on one night, but that was to me the difference in the game was they did not step up enough in the second half.
Well, I think really from, I mean, yes, their overall conference slate, or their overall slate up until conference play, I guess they played a few of their 5A South games during like November or December. But I think really just their, when they played as well as they did, what was it, McDonough, Georgia, McDonough, however you pronounce it, they're the number two team in Georgia, and they lost to them, to McDonough, by a point. It was 58
Yeah.
57. Then they
First
won
game of the
them.
tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they went 1-for-3. I think they did win one of those games, but it's just overall, how Pine Bluff looked in a loss to that Gonzaga team. They hung with them for three quarters. I think that was my case for, and see here, this is another team that you got to look at as well with Benton. They've played about as well as they could, I think, up against their non-conference schedule. But this is about the time where the wheels really fell off for them last year. You think about the Arkansas Razorback team of 07, 08 under John Pelfrey. They had that like 14-2 start. I think Benton had like an 11-4 start last year. And then that Razorback team won two conference games. Last year's Benton team won one or two or three, not very many conference games. So that's the kicker here is you get to the 5A South play. Again, it's going to be, you've already played a gauntlet. And you're in what my opinion, I think that the 5A South is still the best conference in, especially once Jonesboro left the East. I think that not that that made the East not talented or anything. You still got Nettleton. You've got the ones we just talked about, the Marions and all those. But I think right now, and for the past couple of years, that the 5A South has been the deepest, and it wasn't football this past season as well. And so that's with the Whitehalls. And again, even the Hot Springs Lakeside is going to be competing for that final playoff spot. And then you look at the top and you've got again, right now, the Bentons, the Pine Bluffs, and the Lake Hamiltons. So this is where you're really going to find out if you're Dexter Hendricks. Okay. And that's obviously been a big point of emphasis, I would imagine, for his team. We were sitting in a really good spot going into conference play last year. We're in an even better spot this year. We cannot have the wheels fall off like they did.
Well,
Conference play.
when you've got a guy like Burgess, and I'm playing you, I'm gonna make someone else beat me on the team. Now Burgess is still gonna get, he had 22 in that game, but the score wasn't close because, he got five in the second half. They were able to make Benton try to beat him, and they couldn't. So when you're one of those supporting cast guys. Shelby, the guard, that came over from Bryant, and you're going to get wide open looks, and you got to knock him down because he's I'm if I'm playing them, I'm double teaming him, I'm harassing him. He is a little bit thin, so I'm going to bang him, and I'm going to try to frustrate him. And he is good enough that he can still score, and do it. But against a really good, complete team like Pine Bluff and Lake Hamilton, they're going to need the other guys to step up. But I think really what it comes down to is, getting to that spot and getting open. He can pass the ball, and he showed that too. Like he'll drive to the basket and he'll dish it off. So cutting to the basket for that open shot in the paint, when they've collapsed on him, spotting up around the. I mean, you've got some shooters and. If you can make those, all of a sudden, if you make a couple of those shots, they've got to guard you. Then that frees him up. So what do? Are you gonna go out to the 3-point line and identify that guy, or are you gonna still double team Burgess? But he is a very, very great player. They've just got to kind of figure out their identity around, how you can best use him to make everybody better, and then those guys that are around him. To step up, in the fourth quarter, you might need, that was what made Michael Jordan great at the end of his career. He'd give the ball up to other people to make shots. And, when you're that good and you command attention like that, you're triple team. Somebody's going to be open. And he's 6'10", 6'9", so he can look over the defense and he's shown a little bit of a knack to do that. So that's a team that could be very, very good. If they can all kind of, find their roles around him and make some of the shots.
And wrapping things up here, going down to Class 4A. Last year, as I said earlier, it was pretty much who's going to beat Blytheville. Everybody was chasing Blytheville. We thought that they were after losing because you think about it, Nate. The 2022 state championship game, they lost to an undefeated Magnolia that had Darian Ford had won 102-ish games over the previous 4 years, and really it was free throws that doomed them. They had everybody coming back last year. They were the hands down favorite. They were. For us, they were number one at points, I think, or number two, no really lower than that. And then Little Rock Christian comes out of somewhat nowhere because I know that it's at one point they were ranked in anywhere from the third or fourth team in 4A. And then just really got hot at the right time, and all that talent came together, and they just blew out Blytheville on the statewide stage, and of course are the favorites again. And once again, played another tough non-conference slate. And they, of course, opened up their conference play in the 4A5, or I don't know if they had actually, I think they actually did play a few games before that, but either way, got back into it. But just dominated Bauxite and Lone Oak. But to me, it's not even a discussion of whether or not Little Rock Christian is a top 10 team. They're definitely the favorite in 4A right now, have been since before the season even tipped. But I guess the debate for some is, are they a top 10 team? And there's no question to me that they are. I mean, you look at just – so Westminster Academy out of Florida, I think, is a top 15, top 20 team. They were actually – they were hanging with them. Then they lost Landron Blocker. He fouled out, and then really that just kind of went south for them after that. They're not going to make excuses for it, but it's definitely worth noting. And then, of course, they did beat McDonough, who I mentioned a second ago, the number two team in Georgia, and then they closed it out with a loss to Booker T. Washington. I think they're out of Texas, and yeah, they were down 18 at halftime, and then ended up losing that in overtime by a point. So, all I can say, I'm just going to reiterate what I mentioned in the rankings: 4A5 and all the Class 4A. Look out, because unbelievably deep, talented team. J.J. Andrews, Landron Blocker, Jamil Wesley, Corliss Williamson Jr. The list goes on and on and on. They're unbelievably talented, and they're as battle-tested as any team you'll find.
And none of their conference games may even be within 15 or 20 points.
They both were by about a margin of 35 or 40 the other night. I don't – Robinson might be – they tend to do pretty well lately.
That was the game I identified that could be – they play them Friday night. And I've got a friend of mine that is from the East Coast, and he really likes basketball. And I'm like, you need to watch these guys play. And so, may take him to the game on Friday night. I said Robinson may be the one team that could keep it.
Well, they did. So I thought that they had played some conference games. They did. They actually, so Robinson only lost to him by three. For whatever, okay. Coach Harden at Robinson, he's a great coach. And Robinson, they've got so many great athletes in multiple sports, but it's just something about, how every great team has, I don't know if I'd call them their Achilles heel necessarily, but every great team has, like for instance, the Patriot teams. So if we're talking about football, those great Patriot teams, Miami, when they were really, really bad, that was kind of their Achilles heel. No. That kind of seems like, again, I don't want to say that Robinson is their Achilles heel, but that's that one that you always look at. It's like, okay, they've gotten them before.
So they're playing Robinson. The schedule said this Friday, so that will be their second time playing.
They play Robinson on the 26th.
Okay.
On the 26th. They've got this week, they have Lisa, they go according to our schedule, Lisa Academy West away, and they've got PA at home.
Right. It was the 26th. It was PA coming up this week, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I told them we'd go to the 26th game and take you to that. Now, I want to mention something about, as my phone goes off, J.J. Andrews. Now, that championship game last year was like an NBA dunk contest. I have not seen so many dunks in a game. And it was against, you had Marshall on the other side. That's a Division I big time recruit. And Andrews really has blown my mind. I know we've had so many good players that have come through here, like Nick Smith, and you've got Boateng this year. You've got high level players and Blocker's brother, who's at Arkansas, that went to the academy out in Kansas. But Andrews really kind of blows my mind, because he was a 14-year-old freshman last year, and he looked like a grown man. He looks even more mature this year at 15. What is the guy going to look like when he's 18? And he is already highly skilled. I mean, I don't know that we're going to see a guy, Kyle, that is as physically and skilled dominant by the time he's a senior.
Well, I'm not trying to put any rumors out there, because I don't know anything, and I truly don't, but I'm not 100% sure we're going to see him in Arkansas next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that wouldn't surprise me. The one thing is, I mean, what a tremendous young man he is. I got to
know him.
Played at Arkansas, and I did a story on him, that ended up going national, and that's a different story for a different day. But I got close with him, and he introduced me to him when he was a little boy, and he said even then, I know he's going to be a good athlete. I see it already at 5 years old, and he was a big kid for then. But it may be the fact that he wants to be home around his parents and not go off. But I mean, as far as basketball wise, I mean, he's already playing in these national teams and selection. I mean, I think he's going to be, a top five, top 10 guy. I mean, Nick was so good, talent wise, but you didn't look at Nick and say that's, JJ looks like a football player. He looks like a wide receiver, a DN, and he's muscled, and the way he dunks the basketball. But then he also has that skill of Nick Smith to be able to take the ball to the basket, shoot the ball. So he's one of those, complete package. That would be the one thing you probably would say about Nick was he was a little light. He was a little bit thin. You look at JJ Andrews as a 14-year-old ninth grader, and he's more stronger and more athletic than a lot of seniors. And now, he's just a sophomore. He's got two more years. So that's a good point. I didn't th think of that. I mean, for his career, and you saw it with Blocker, what's happened with him, that was a good thing for him to leave Little Rock Christian and to go there and get nationally recruited. But it doesn't matter where JJ plays. I mean, he's already got lots of attention, and he's going to get that. But he may want to play where he can get more competition. I mean, I think that is probably the thing that you would look at, because we just talked about at the 4A level, he is not going to find anybody in the conference that can really play with him. Now if you're in that 5A South, that's a different story. You're playing Burgess, you're playing Robinson, you're playing teams that are very talented. And if you're playing in 6A, if you're playing against Bryant, you're playing against Central and stuff. But yeah, at that small level, that might be the reason that he does go, just because he's not going to be challenged. I saw his stats through, he posted his stats through the first five games or something. They played how many conference games they played, and I mean, he's dominating. It's not close. So that could be why he would do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, if you like what you've been hearing, what you've been listening to, definitely be sure and subscribe to Arkansas Prep Extra. You can do that on Spotify. I think hopefully Apple here pretty soon. We're working on getting everything all situated. And obviously, as you see now, you can view us live. We actually got up, got showered. Normally Nate and I are in our hoodies and hats and don't shower till later on. We get all of our work done.
Brushing
We
my
make sure.
hair, I comb my
Yeah,
hair.
well, we make sure to get
I
all
love
like nice and
it.
spiffy and everything. So got all cleaned up, and we'll be doing video from here on. And so we'll probably try to post some of these clips up just from various things that we talked about. And again, that way you can kind of get a grasp of exactly what we're doing. You don't always have, we'd love for you to listen to the whole show, but we do things for multiple classes. And again, next week we will touch base on class 1 through 3A and check in with some of the top teams from there after looking at a lot of the teams from our Power 25 and some of the top teams to watch for the boys and girls ranks. And you can check out our Power 25 for both boys and girls at scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. And of course, too, we'll have our weekly top performers. I already mentioned the podcast, of course. And today we're actually going to do some notebooks this year, like we did with football. Is that right? Let
Yeah,
you talk about it.
we're gonna try to. We want to cover basketball, as much as we can. And we'll some news and notes, and I know there's not a shortage of things to talk about. And also, a hats off to our producer Christian in sunny San Diego, California, with the assist on the video.
That's right. Yeah, definitely happy to have Christian in on board with that, because it makes my job a little bit easier. It's a little bit less than I have to do. So appreciate Christian on the ones and twos there. And we'll be back next week. Thank you for tuning in to episode 101. And again, scorebooklive.com/Arkansas. I'll check out all of our content there. For Nate Olson, I'm Kyle Sutherland, and all of us here at SB Live, we will see you next week.